hang on. Got a call for Lock Talk Radio. Renee.
Three, two, one. Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full-color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low-glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to the Food and Medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast.
Right. Taylor asked me what I want to talk about, and I said, Donut. Oh, we didn't see that spider poke. Don't find those wild.
There you do.
So, you picked up this book called The Drought Resistant Farm, and I read from it. I know it's not technically free food and medicine, but
in a way it is. Basically, we got an off-grid organic farm and retreat we're working on, and we don't really have water. So we just pick up the rainwater and whatnot. But basically what this book helps us do is figure out ways to retain water on the land so that the land will grow us free food and medicine, or at least more of it.
Yeah. And so, what about it is that and planting mulch. Traditionally, people plant mulch because it slows down the rate at which water runs off the land. And this book suggests that this forms a much more important function. It prevents the rain from hitting dirt. Every raindrop literally compacts soil when it makes contact. Mulch stops doing that. Mulch slows the water down, water seeps down, mulch, and gently. Oil.
90 seconds
That was weird. So, yeah, I'll keep going, but it's kind of like a recording stop.
We are getting low on time. So, soon we won't be able to do Blog Talk Radio anymore. You'll just have to find us at freefoodandmedicine.org.
Anyway, so I'm skipping all that part about the mold. Okay. I'm going to read you.
60 seconds.
After explaining values,
oh, real quick, if this does cut us off, you can find the rest of the conversation or the rest of the podcast at freefoodandmedicine.org once I upload it.
Ready? So, here we go. The recipe we already have. So how do we create mold? Okay. Removing the mold we have.
10 seconds.
Yeah, I don't want to cover up the mic accidentally.
Go
ahead. Okay. The first and most obvious way is to avoid destroying and removing the mulch we have as a byproduct of our current land management, such as crop residue or the stubble of pasture grass. Keep plant residues in the field. Just as tillage is destructive, so is the removal of crop residue from the field. During the drought of 2012, a huge amount of crop residue was baled and sold in low-grade livestock feed in my area. I had neighbors who thought they had found a miniature gold mine. Selling baled corn stalks at $60 a ton, I felt compelled to point out a few items to them. First, the cost of swathing, baling, and moving those bales amounted to around $30 a ton. So their net above harvest cost was only about $30. Then I had them figure the value of the fertilizer in those stalks. A ton of corn stalks contains about 20 pounds of nitrogen, about 8 pounds of phosphate, and about 60 pounds of potash. At 65 cents per pound of nitrogen, 75 cents per pound of phosphate, and 50 cents per pound of potash, that fertilizer value amounted to $49 a ton. Essentially, they sold $49 worth of fertilizer for $30. Yeah. Yep, they lost money selling the bales. Plus, they wasted time and effort baling them up. That's another $30 thrown away. So, the real loss, however, was the value of the stalks as mulch and organic matter. Neighbors who continued on this path for several years started to notice that their dryland fields were dropping in yields quite rapidly, and they began to have crop failures while their neighbors were still pulling off average yields. They also had large amounts of potassium deficiency. Potassium deficiencies predispose plants to stalk rot, which are fungal diseases that affect the lower stalks. Once the lower stalk is infected, it not only makes it difficult for the plant to take up water and nutrients, resulting in reduced yield, but the structural integrity of the stalk is compromised as well, and the plants begin to lodge, fall over, and become difficult to harvest. No one fertilizes with potassium in my area because our soil tends to be very high in that element. But when crop residue is harvested year after year, the most easily available potassium ions are largely removed from the surface of the soil, colloids, and transported away in bales of stalks and straw. The Amish have a saying that the man who sells hay is slowly selling his farm, and I have seen formerly rich soils become progressively impoverished by too much removal of crop residue. On top of that, there is the issue of soil erosion. Removing the protective layer of natural mulch leaves the soil more vulnerable to erosion. I shudder to think of what might happen if cellulose ethanol ever becomes a viable concern. If crop residue is preferred feedstock, I am all for green energy, but only when it makes sense in the long run. Being able to fill our gas tanks cheaply won't do us much good if we can no longer grow food. All right. So basically, his neighbors suffered loss because they got rid of their organic matter. They sold off the straws, the corn stalks and stuff like that because they thought they were making a profit off of it, and it resulted in not being able to grow anything. So, and he's basically saying, keep all your organic matter. And you know, even here out in the country, there's small towns where people take their leaves every year and they burn them in the ditch. They even have yard waste disposal bins that they shove all their stuff into and get rid of it. You know, and it boils down to, you know, if you want good soil, you want to keep all that stuff. If you got a neighbor who wants to get rid of it, well, fine. If you can't convince him to keep it, take it off his hands. You know, build up your soil. Maybe he'll change his mind when he sees how yours is doing. Maybe I should take these donuts and mix them into the soil instead of eating them. Alrighty. So Kano is busy filling the tank. And I'm running out of stuff to comment about. Anyway, this is a pretty good book. It went into explaining why tilling and plowing your ground does not really help. That some of the problems we're having with our land right now is probably the direct result of having been plowed for so many years. And, you know, and we have some problems underneath our big oak tree. I took away all the organic matter in order to improve some gardens and make some potting soil. And now all the ground underneath our oak trees is eroding away. So, I mean, that was just a small thing we did.
All right.
And Kano is back.
So.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, I'm done reading that section. But yeah, it's a pretty good book. It goes into it. You know, that's only one of the things it went into. You know, so I'm working my way through the book. It talks about swales. It even has a different type of swale than I've seen before. This guy seems to like wood chips. I don't know why he likes wood chips so much, but he seems to like wood chips. He basically, he'll dig this deep trench for a swale, and he fills it with wood chips. So
You know.
Yeah, I was gonna already rub it off.
Right? So, yeah. So that's something that I learned. Last couple days, or well, last couple days,
from what we understand, our frogs
are edible. Don't eat
them. Berries in general are poisonous.
Right.
So be careful with them. But berries, supposedly, you know, don't eat the seeds, but the berry itself is okay.
According to Marcus Rothschild, I'm sure he was telling me it was. Unless it was strong medicine, and then he would recommend it. This is about ready. We got our papers. I don't know if I think that before. We talked about that last year on our podcast. Yeah.
The third one we need for that big pot.
We're going to put in the ground and put one in the ground. We need 25 for winter. Mulberry.
Sorry.
Yeah. Edge up. They call it mulberry. Supposedly, it's like water or bubblegum. Water really is coming out. Maybe next year we'll have fruit. Classic.
What else?
What? Fruit. Yeah, we can't have fruit.
That's a vine tree. Vine tree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Marcus Rose said all pine family are edible.
So, even
don't get the other one. Get them before they are enough.
Right. One thing I can't wait for, I mean, gonna do. You have to start, stop, fry them up. Or I've heard this. Yeah, the research that they're like a. Not as good as, I don't know, Mexican cycle. So it's like, you buy a yucca root, grocery store that can do the Mexican market. Barberry. Barberry. Got some LA.
Thank you.